Hey, welcome to the After Now podcast with Tim and George. Give us a listen. What do you have to lose?
Because let's be honest, you've wasted time on sketchier stuff than this before.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, George.
What kind of computer sings the best?
What kind of computer sings the best? I don't know.
Adele.
Oh, no, God. Wah. Okay, what, give me another one.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, George.
Why was the computer cold?
Cold boot? I don't know. Booting? I have no idea. What?
Windows froze.
Oh, my God. Windows froze.
Everyone's been there, so...
Everyone's been there. Everyone has absolutely been there. I don't know. There might have been some kids that... these days that have only used an iPad and an iPhone, and maybe they have.
Yeah, you know what? You're not.
Season 3, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. Season 3.
Oh, are we doing one more joke?
Yeah, one more.
One more joke. Sorry. Go ahead.
Why'd the computer go to the dentist?
Why did the computer go to the dentist? I have no idea.
Who checked?
Oh, Ayo.
So welcome to season 3.
Season 3. Yeah, season 3. This is good stuff. And we're talking about CES today.
We are the Consumer Electronics Show. Now what's interesting is some years CES has a lot of big wow things. Some years it's not so much. It's always a popular show,
right?
But you were there this year.
I was there this year. Yeah,
and this year was kind of different. It was. I don't want to oversell it, but it may have been a turning point.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
In terms of like what was shown, where. Not just the show, but the industry is going.
Yeah, I agree with that.
One of the big things is a staple of the CES show up until now was, and you were saying that it was pretty much absent this year.
Yeah, I mean,
they really didn't have like televisions there.
Right. They had a couple companies that had... Well, I mean, there were a lot of TVs for sure, but like Sony doesn't show any TVs anymore, you know, which is weird because, you know, I'd say if you watch a lot of like the online, there are a lot of good people who are reviewing tech on YouTube and they do a great job of it. You know, we don't usually plug people here, but like, you know, Andrew Robinson, He's got a very good video log, and I have no problems plugging him. It's a really good show. I enjoy it. And you know, he constantly talks about, you know, where Sony's at and all the other competitors, right? And Sony's always ranking in the higher echelon,
sure,
right? So you would expect them to have a good showing with their TVs at CES, and then they don't. Sharp was there. Sharp announced their return to North America, but they had one TV. You know, they had one really good TV, and the rest were just whatever. Samsung, Toshiba, you know, they all had, you know, their 8Ks, some of the other ones. But at the end of the day, I think the TV tech is kind of, you know, We're done with that. It's not anything big anymore. Until 8K becomes mainstreamed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or you know, some of the newer devices coming out may replace TV.
Right. And And people will be like, well, why didn't you talk about the transparent TV? Okay, there you go. I just talked about it. That's about as how impressive as it was to me. I mean, you, really? Know, you see through.
I mean, it looked cool. Yeah. Those of you that haven't seen pictures of it or seen it, it's basically a clear piece of glass that has images on it. And it's kind of like, the, you know, we've seen stuff like this on Star Trek even, right?
Right. Exactly. But it was very distracting, you know, because you're seeing through a TV and you can see the other side. So it's distracting. I mean, I don't know. To me, I wasn't very impressed. I mean, a lot of people thought it was cool. I was like, eh, it's about as impressive as 3D TV was, and that died quick. So,
yeah, I could see it kind of just a gadget type thing, but. You're right. If you're staring at it and you see people walking behind you all the time, that'd drive you crazy.
What I did see, and you're right, is a lot more, you know, there was a little bit more focus on personal audio. There was a little bit more of a focus on electric in the home, microgridding, EVs, of course. AI is huge. AI is like center stage, right?
But how could it not be?
The thing with AI is it's in everything. You know, a form of AI, either ML, machine learning, or AI, artificial intelligence. And either or, it's pretty much in every product. I mean, you'd be damn near hard-pressed to find a product that doesn't have AI in it or will not have AI in it in the next couple of years.
Including, like, a toaster. I mean, just... bland things like that are going to have it.
If your coffee maker, you know, knows what kind of beans you have, maybe it might want to brew it for a little longer, press it for a little longer. Who knows? I mean, if it goes to the internet and finds a recipe, you know, for cooking food, maybe, you know, it'll be a good mix with other technologies. And I think that was kind of the point of the show was, the walls of ecosystems kind of falling down with Matter coming out, you know, Matter being the standard for wireless and technology, home automation. You know, there's no more Apple siloed, you know, like walled garden. There's no more Google walled garden. There's no more Amazon walled garden. All of that, you know, kind of talks to one another now. So it's kind of the barriers are kind of coming down in the tech world.
Which feeds into something we talked about maybe season one, the realization of a metaverse.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of was, you know, I really felt like the show was kind of in a, let's kind of wait and see. And as some people may notice, it's, early March when we're releasing this show. So it's a couple months after CES. And the reason why is you and I have been making some decisions about, you know, maybe we wait a little while and see how other technologies impact our initial thought. And so what happened between that and now, you know, Apple released Vision. I really think that that's kind of like how CES was too. Everyone was talking about the technology that's relevant for that moment, but they knew come February, the first week of February, which was almost 30 days after CES and 30 days ago, that Apple Vision's coming out. What will the techscape look like after that comes out and then post that, right?
Yeah, and I think we have to look at past releases of new products. So Apple doesn't always knock them out of the park.
Right.
They certainly did with the iPhone. And if the playbook is to be followed, what happens is the initial product offering from Apple is generally really good, well tested, but kind of price prohibited for mass adoption.
Right.
And that first version, what that does is it sets the table, saying, okay, here's Apple Vision. We're going to set the standard. This is what menus, this is how it's going to be navigated and all that other stuff. And then kind of almost sneaks up on you that all of a sudden there's new versions come out, they're more affordable, what have you. And then it just kind of becomes a standard.
Right. And this is not to say that we're ignoring what's been going on with virtual reality with other companies.
Oh, no, sure. They've done a great job. No, certainly. Oculus and Rift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the startups we've mentioned on the show in season one and season two, I mean, the Tesla suit, right? And all those other things, not to be confused with Elon Musk's Tesla, a close personal friend of the show.
Close personal friend of the show, yeah.
A little wonky these days, but still close personal friend of the show.
He's busy.
He is busy. I saw a thing the other day that showed all of his traveling in like 2023 in an airplane on a virtual map of the Earth. And it was just showing this airplane going all over the place around the globe in 1 year. I mean, that guy does a lot of mileage, let me tell you. Anyways, I digress. No, but I mean, going back to it though, there's been a lot of industry standard, but like even if we were to compare last year's show, the 2023 Consumer Electronics Show, to the 2024 Consumer Electronics Show, the focus was clearly metaverse. The focus was clearly building virtual worlds. And I don't think anybody's gotten past that. I think now the expectation is to deliver it. And it needs to happen, right? So all these companies are working on that.
And they almost had to let it. So you get this big hype. And thinking about it, we had said something similar. So a similar topic was EFTs. If you remember, we talked about EFTs.
Yeah.
We also talked about the metaverse. And what happens is when these new concepts, I'll say concept, is introduced, the thought is, Facebook is going to do the metaverse and that failed, or whatever the monkey thing or whatever, right? That failed, or EFTs, they were worth a lot, now they're not worth anything. That failed. And they didn't. What happened was that was the first shot at it. That was laying the groundwork. And what happens is when the first company comes out and does these things, and it's not a complete grand slam, everyone's like, oh, it's failed. It went away. No. What it did is that was the first realization of it. And then most people kind of lose sight or interest of it because, they're looking at the next shiny thing. But then that matures. And what we're seeing, I think, is maturitization of these things. So, we're looking at the metaverse. It's starting to mature and actually take shape into what it's going to be. And it certainly hasn't been finalized, but it is maturing.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that the staying power at, even, again, if we're going to compare something from 2023 to 2024 CES, there's a lot of health tech there. And that's died off a little. And I think that's because in the 2023 show, that health tech had some oomph, that push from post-COVID. Everyone was looking to jump back on a Peloton, and everyone was looking, everyone had this huge craze about Peloton. And it's not that nobody, doesn't like Peloton. I love my Peloton. We have one in the house. We got a Gen 1. We don't have a Gen 2, but we use it. I'm not plugging Peloton. I'm saying marrying the technology of traditional bikes with, a screen and being able to load it up with data and then be able to measure against that new concept, right? And I think a lot of that came not just with Palatine, but a lot of that came with a lot of companies who had tech and health and, you know, created that new segment, health tech. Their oomph kind of died off a little. What you're not seeing die off is the EV space. Like, that's really heating up. And it's funny because you hear kind of a little bit of a different story in the general media where people are like, oh, you know what, the promise of EVs, you know, maybe it's a little lackluster at this point. Maybe it's not what we thought it was. It was supposed to be the savior, and now it's not the savior, or maybe it's not quite the savior. I mean, the reality is that at least I feel that EVs, we're not going back. We're not putting, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
No. I think you bring up a really good point with the health tech, because health tech is like a year, or it's a couple years before the EVs. And there's no way that either of those movements, health tech, EVs, could have lived up to the hype and the expectations.
Right.
There's no way. Absolutely not. And what happens is these products continue to grow. They continue to get better, and they work their way into your lives where they just become ubiquitous and you don't think about it anymore. I mean, you can get a watch, or you can get an EKG machine that you just get sensors and it's an app on your phone.
Yeah, for sure.
It's insane. And your watch can tell you your blood pressure and your heart rhythm, whether you're going into AFib and all this stuff. Just a setting on a watch.
Yeah, and we didn't have any of this. I mean, none of this existed prior to 2010, you know what I'm saying? Even 2007. Right.
Right. But a couple of years ago, the focus was on health tech, and it's like, oh, well, health tech kind of fizzled. No, it didn't fizzle. You're just used to it. And the same with EVs. And you know, I've certainly been one that has said EVs have their place and their limitations, blah, blah, blah. But they're just kind of a thing now.
Yeah.
And they will be. And so what's it finally look like? Yeah, you know what? We've got some infrastructure problems. I don't know. We've got problems with the car. We have infrastructure problems.
We do. That's exactly correct. I mean, you nailed it right on the head.
But what happened is you had all these knuckleheads, including these politicians, saying, oh, we're going to do this by, you know, in 7 years. And anybody with half a brain was like, bullshit. You can't.
Right.
And so what happens is you get all this hype and you get all these people excited about it, and you know that there's no way it's going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, all the naysayers come in and say, oh, it was a failure. It wasn't a failure. And it's not a failure. It's what's going to happen. And it's going to happen just on a different timeline than all these knuckleheads. So you got the politicians that lie about this stuff because they want to get reelected and they want to seem more green than anybody. Then you've got the stock speculators that jump on this stuff because they want anyone that has anything to do with EVs, they want that stock price to go up. And so you've got all these different forces, and then the market will handle it and will allow it to mature and work at its own time frame. But as soon as it doesn't hit some ridiculous expectation, then you get people saying, oh, it's crap. It's all crap, you know? It's not the case.
Yeah, and what's really funny is you're starting to what you're seeing is, I think, also a lot of different industries maturing at different speeds, you know? And where health tech, you know, technology is interesting, whether it be you're running an application, whether it be you're building, you know, a widget to do something, whether it be a TV, whatever it is. But it usually is a conglomeration of different smaller products that are pulled together into one large product that has a bunch of different features. And whether it be a TV, I mean, let's look at the evolution of the TV really quickly. I mean, you know, since 2000, the TV has gone from an analog format to a digital format, and it's gone from, quite honestly, you know, 720, the 1080, the 1080p, the 4K.
A cathode ray tube, right?
Right, early cathode ray tube, right.
OLED or whatever. I mean, there's new technology comes out every year, and it's just...
Transparent TVs that I just ripped on, right? You know?
Yes.
But I mean, my point being is that... But it's not only the resolution. It's also the Wi-Fi radio inside of it. You know, early versions of it didn't even have Wi-Fi. You just plugged them in the Ethernet. Now, you kick the can down the road, 2.4 gigahertz. Kick the can farther down the road, 5 gigahertz, meaning faster speeds connecting to your wireless network. Better streaming. Now we're integrating OSs into the TVs. Now we're putting an Android OS in there, and it's got Netflix and different apps. Whereas before, you needed a Roku external or an Apple TV external. Now all this is built in. So again, a TV is a perfect analog.
You know
I'm saying? It's a perfect analog for the discussion. I mean, through the evolution, you've taken different technologies from different industries, OSs from, you know, obviously open source Linux distributions from, foundations that built Linux to service providers and hosting companies and all that stuff. All that got built in that space, but was eventually mature enough to be brought into a TV, you know, in hardened so it couldn't easily get hacked and be a platform for a streamer, you know, and all the streaming technology. I mean, it really is an analog for bringing a bunch of technology together to make a old product something very different and new again.
And let's just take a step back and kind of unpack what you just said. And here's where people just become numb to what really should almost be viewed as magic. We've got a television set that within it can receive a signal of extremely high quality video and audio and interpret that pretty much in real time, so that if you have a good Wi-Fi network at home, you don't see any glitches, and you could stream a movie, let's say it's a two and a half hour movie, without any glitches. It's just expected, and there's no wires going to that TV.
Right. Well, there
it's
is
Wi-Fi.
Power.
It's Wi-Fi.
Right.
Well, power, but that's it.
And by the way, I don't want to detract from what you're saying, but I did meet a company at CES that was transmitting power over the air. So there may be a point where maybe there's no wires on a TV and it is, you know, just hanging on a wall and you're shooting power to that TV over, you know, 900 megahertz.
And the problem is that depending on what generation you are, you become so used to it. Here's a perfect example. In the Chicago area, we just had a 73-degree day at the end of January, right? We had a couple days like 50s, 60s, and then it was 73. And then we had bad storms, and the temperature went down to like the 20s. The wind chill was near zero. I was so crabby when the weather got cold. But that's what the weather should be, right? Because it's February in Chicago. But I got used to that really nice weather in just 3 days. It's true.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening in the technology landscape that we have right now.
Right.
The new gadgets come out and you're like, wow, you know, what is this wizardry? And within 3 hours, you forget that it's amazing. It's like, oh yeah, that's just the way it is.
Right. It's the new norm.
Yeah. What do we need to be impressed anymore?
Yeah. And very much like the TV, very much like what, you know, Sony, Samsung, Toshiba, Sharp, Panasonic include the, take those five core companies. What they've done to innovate and move the TV forward, Tesla has done, and so has...
Yes.
But not only Tesla. I mean, so there are, you know, Rivian, Tesla, I'll say Lucid, Atlas, early iterations of Atlas, and, you know, I'll throw a newcomer in. There's a new EV startup called Canoe. They're going to do some interesting things, I think. But like, you know, I mean, and I obviously I know that there are other EV companies that are out there as well, and other companies that are doing work. And then, you know, General Motors and Ford have their own EV projects. But you know, look at a Tesla, right? And I think the point will be taken here: touchpad, a touchscreen. It is a tablet in the middle of the damn, you know.
It's huge.
Right. I mean, there's nothing else. It's a tablet. You know, we're doing over-the-air updates. You know, we can change things on the fly. It drives me insane when people say, oh, here's Tesla having another recall. It's not a recall, guys. It's not a recall. Because a recall is when you take a car into the shop and then they actually change something out. When Tesla has a recall, more often than not, it's just a software change over the air.
Yeah.
It's just an upgrade. There's no difference. It's no different than Microsoft pushing down a patch for your Microsoft Outlook on your desktop. I don't like the terminology, but my point being is that it's a culmination of different technologies that have, you know, apexed the automobile to where it is today, right? And by the way, let me just also say, if you haven't seen the electric Porsche yet, you should, because it's amazing. Very expensive, but amazing.
Oh, I bet. And here's one thing to remember. When the internal combustion engine came out, most of the brands that made cars are no longer in business anymore.
Right.
So they either got bought by others and folded in under General Motors or Chrysler or Ford, or they just went out of business.
Right.
There's a ton of car companies that went out of business. You'd expect the same to happen with EVs because people are trying different things depending on when they introduce what, during what cycle, is going to depend whether they're successful or not.
To your point, yeah, but to your point, what I saw at CES this year was an initiative to really drive that infrastructure. I mean, I think both Toshiba and Panasonic, no, sorry, Panasonic, I think it was Panasonic and Samsung. Panasonic and Samsung, I believe, had their own charging solutions. And they were partnered with Tesla, bringing, you know, solar and their batteries in the home and interfacing with their technology. So what you started having a lot of crossover, a lot of cross-pollinization of technologies. And really, I think that's, if I could put my finger on it, I think that was really the purpose, the underlying, what the show was about this year. A lot of these tech companies just really coming together and the cross-pollinization of a lot of technologies.
And I think one of the things that's going to be the lasting piece this year, I think we're starting to, as we talked about before, the AI piece, that's going to weave its way into everything.
Uh-huh.
And the companies that are going to make it and thrive are the ones that... some of it's going to be planning, but I'll be honest with you. Some of it's just going to be dumb luck of they happen to have be at the right place to be able to take advantage of AI at a certain time, and it's just going to click for them.
Right.
And you're going to have other companies that are really, really good. And through no reason of their own, they're just going to miss the boat.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important to note that when we talk about AI, the productization of AI, I think there's really like three tiers. I mean, at least today, in early March of 2024, there are like really three tiers, right? There's the really advanced science level AI, right? I mean, that's the
stuff in the lab, right?
It's the stuff in the lab, maybe at the higher ed level, in research, those types of things. Mm-hmm. I had a buddy in town that works for or is responsible for technology in a very large school in higher ed in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, we were having this conversation, and it's amazing where, you know, AI sits in the hierarchy of higher ed, right? But then the second tier, away from research and away from the lab coat people, is really at the enterprise level, right? Microsoft, ChatGPT, you know, they're building this into their products.
What is it, BARD? That's a Google one.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's a great example. You know, and you know, I think on the backside of all that, Siri, right? Is probably in last place at this point, but still a primitive AI. Mm-hmm. And I think that's being rolled out into many products across the board. And then that final tier, that third lower tier, is the stuff that, you know, is, you know, spun off that middle tier technology that you and I would have direct access to, like a direct interface to ChatGPT, or maybe something that's put into a product that has a very limited scope as far as what it can learn and what it could do.
Sure.
So you wouldn't have an AI that knows everything when you want to apply it to, like, let's say, making coffee, because it doesn't matter if it knows how to analyze, you know, orbital decay of asteroids. That has nothing to do with making coffee. But what,
right?
But what you do program it with is everything that it should know about making coffee, and then let it loose, not in the wild, but on one product. And so I think a lot of people get a little loosey-toosey in the head, and they get a little nervous when they hear about AI taking over the world. Really, you could think of that AI as just a really sophisticated program that has some, let's call it learning heuristics, some mm-hmm. or some adaptive, let's not even call it learning, let's call it adaptive heuristics that would just make your product experience better.
But some of those are really turning the world upside down. I mean, starting to.
Absolutely.
They're just even stuff like taking from text to an image, or, you know, write me this. And it's getting spooky good right now.
It is getting spooky good. And I know what George is choosing his words very cautiously, because he doesn't want to send this. He doesn't want to send this podcast down a route where we're going to talk about this in future shows. So yeah. we've already had that conversation, but where you're touching on is just absolutely perfect, because you know, staying on topic with CES, a lot of that AI is spooky good, and you are seeing it permeate into different products. And, you know, as always with CES, there's always Eureka Park, which is their research and is their startup area. And I think that's one of the most amazing things of CES that gets so little fanfare is all these small companies all around the world. You got companies from Israel, you got companies from Germany, you got companies from France. These aren't even companies, these are startups. And all these people are just showing off their tech. You know, how far is it away from commercialization? maybe none of it will reach commercialization. Maybe some of it will be just outright bought and be turned into a component of a larger product, which we
or shelved
or shelved because it's, like you said, too scary. But yeah, I mean, tons of stuff to see at CES, and it was just such a great show this year. I heard the attendance was up. It was in the 150s, I believe, 150,000 attendees, 148,000, okay. I think I heard. And yeah, I mean, going strong, and a bunch of milestones this year. But it was good to see. It was good to see a lot of tech companies going strong, and it was good to see a lot of a lot of changes in direction too. Whereas you're starting to see like a lot of the large companies like Sony or even Microsoft isn't there, but there were some announcements around the show and after the show. You know, you're starting to hear rumors about Microsoft Xbox. You know, are they going to really make another console, or are they going to just build an interface to allow everyone to use their software? Much like, hey, if you're on a Sony PlayStation, you could just use Microsoft software, and it'll be called the Xbox app on a Sony PlayStation. You know, I've heard rumors of that. Sony has gone into different avenues. I mean, they're looking to launch their own EV. Possibly, they had two models there with a relationship with a company that's helping them along a little. You know, and Honda is not a small company, so they know how to build cars, and it's an interesting partnership. So there's a lot of fusion, is what I'm trying to say, with all these tech companies, and it's fun to watch. Yeah,
well, it's interesting you say that, because Apple just announced that they are stopping their Apple Car program, and honestly, kind of makes sense. They could take what they've learned and put it on an existing car. And maybe that makes more sense. And so, yeah, that fusion piece I think is going to be really big. And
why should Apple literally reinvent the wheel?
Hey, yo. but I think we're going to see a lot of interesting stuff come out. And that fusion is, a lot of the Legos have been built, and now it's putting them together and people putting them together in different ways and getting different results. And we're going to see some pretty amazing things. I think it's going to be a little scary in terms of the technology and what is actually delivered, but it's also going to be pretty exciting. We're going to see innovation. My belief is we're going to hit a new level of innovation that we haven't seen before. And a lot of it's going to be driven by the new technology, but also we're going to have help with designing this stuff. And Tim, you were just saying that websites certainly, you know, you can just have AI help you with that.
Yeah, I mean, just as you can, and we'll be talking about this in the next couple of shows, but as you can author a movie or author a song, there are, I mean, a multitude, hours and hours of podcasts that we could do that talk about who gets the rights, why should one person get the rights over something else, what happens when you accidentally use copyrighted material. But above and beyond all that, you can go and create amazing works of art, and it basically has no real footing in real world. You know, it could be all imaginary. Which is, you and I were talking about this off air a couple of days ago, this is why SAG had such a hard time, Screen Actors Guild, sorry, had such a hard time coming to an agreement with a lot of these studio houses, because a lot of these studio houses are already playing with some of this AI. Again, I know we're kind of venturing onto other topics for other shows, but yeah, it's just showing you how it bleeds in, right?
Absolutely. And that's why I say we're going to be in an unparalleled time of creativity and innovation, because we're not doing it alone this time. And yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot of societal issues to deal with. Like, for example, that SAG strike. Okay, they got a deal. When they go to renegotiate that deal, things are going to be very, very different. Very different. So
yeah. Oh, for sure.
The level of improvement that we're seeing on some of these technologies, it's growing exponentially.
So the other reason why we decided to kind of wait a couple weeks more than we would normally to on doing a CES show is because, you know, you never quite see what comes out of the ethos, right? And I saw something the other day that I thought was absolutely amazing. And there is a far CES tie to this, going back maybe 6 years, 8 years before the pandemic, when you and I were talking early on, before we even did the show, about, you know, drones. One of the big things at CES was, you know, drone technology really grew up at that show. And for years, showcased a lot of stuff. And for sure, there were drones there again. But something that I had saw recently was not only did, and I want to do a tie in here really quickly. Not only did I see a drone literally keep pace with a Formula One car.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes, and so I'm watching a Formula One car in the rain and on dry surface, right? Drive around the track. I don't know what track it was. It was not in Las Vegas.
I think it was Bahrain.
I know a lot of people are aware of the Formula One mess in Las Vegas, and that's not what I'm referring to. I'm saying that, and if it was Bahrain, let's take it as Bahrain. You know, there was this Formula One car. It was going fast. I mean, you know, 200 and plus miles an hour, and this drone was keeping right up with it. And it's amazing because it's a 4K drone keeping up with a Formula One car. What a different way to view a race.
And, you know, you can make those things really, it'll change your sporting experience completely.
Yeah. It definitely changes the human condition. Absolutely. It gives us a different view of how the sport should be done.
Yeah.
And the tie-in that I was speaking to is, you know, I mean, it's amazing enough that, you know, we saw drones grow up right before our eyes, but one of the demos that Apple did with Vision was Formula One, where they had a person with the goggles on. Sorry, I know no one likes calling them the goggles, but I'm calling them the goggles because they look like goggles. And you look up, or the person who was watching Formula One was watching a virtual screen in front of him. But then on his coffee table, he had the course. And it was the course sitting on his coffee table. And the car that he tagged on the TV was blinking on the course. So he got to see its position in a three-dimensional model of the course on his coffee table while he was watching the race on the screen. And now we're talking about an overhead drone shot, right? Of real time. Hey, this is what I'm able to see, a different perspective. I mean, look how technology, just with two products, has completely changed the engagement of how people watch that sport.
And it's going to keep on, and like I said, it's going to keep on innovating, and we're going to get used to it. That's kind of the shitty part, right? We're going to see something that's going to be so amazing. We got a drone following a 220 mile an hour car in the rain, and probably by mid season, it'll be like, eh. It's like, oh my gosh,
right?
What do we need to impress you?
Yeah, exactly. And that's And I don't know who said it, but someone had said at some point, technology would get to a point where it would almost look like magic to somebody who, had never even seen technology before. I know I'm kind of chopping that up a little, but there's an old saying that kind of makes a reference to that. And if you were to take 18-year-old me from the mid-90s and move me to today, I would not feel like I'm in the same world because I'm not in the same world.
No,
I'm in a
no.
very different, we're all living in a very different world.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And that's kind of why I love doing the CES show as the first one of our season, because it brings all this stuff out, and it really sets the table for what's coming. And I think it lets us realize the magic that's out there. And I've said this before, I really believe with all the advantages we have and all the things we have available to us, all the technology we have available to us, this is the best time in the history of ever to be alive. Now,
I agree with
look
that.
what we're seeing, man. Look what we're seeing.
I think it's good stuff. I think it's good
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
You had mentioned what you had mentioned weather in Chicago. I know we're kind of getting to the end of our show, but you had mentioned weather in Chicago. I just want to give a shout out to somebody who is a mentor of mine and is announced his retirement, Tom Skilling. What a great human being.
Yes.
And I grew up watching Tom Skilling and do the news. And for anybody who's watched WGN on a local channel in Chicago, or WGN used to be a power station, so it used to be across the country, you'd see
Yep.
Tom Skilling, and he would just talk weather, and it was like you were getting a science lesson every night.
Oh, talk about someone that used technology, ahead of
Yeah.
time. He was a student of weather. He would, I mean, he had these maps with all these crazy arrows all over the place, and then he'd take the time to explain it to you. Well, these are this is a wind pattern, and this is what happens, and this is pushing this weather this way, and this is why we're not getting the cold, or this is why we are going to get the cold. And again, I think he did it for like 45 years or something like that, and
Wow, now he's gonna go and retire. And the funny thing is, he still is like a kid in a candy store when you watch him. I think
oh, I
this will be his
love
last.
what he does. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this will be his last week or the
Yeah,
last week of
yesterday
February.
was, you just hit it on the head, Tim. This guy was as excited, like his last show, as he was when on some of the older ones. He loved the weather. And you know what? That lucky person that does what they love and they're excited about it every day.
I don't know if he's going to continue to do them, but he's just outside of Chicago at the Department of Energy. They have a facility there called Fermilab, and every year Fermilab opens its doors. For anybody who doesn't know this, Fermilab happens to be our nation's particle
CERN,
accelerator. Yeah,
right.
our nation's CERN, right? And they do amazing science there. Amazing science. And one of the weekends in the spring every year, they have essentially Weather Week. And he
Oh.
hosts Weather Week. I don't know if he's planning on doing that moving forward or not, but it was something that I often went to, and one, to get access to a Department of Energy facility and just check out the
Sure.
cool architecture and the retro, mid-century architecture, hey, to be able to stand on top of a particle accelerator, that's kind of a cool thing in itself. But to also talk about tornadoes and weather and Tom Skilling bringing it all together, I hope he still does it. But I just wanted to give a shout out to him because I have met very few people that have ever said anything bad about Tom Skilling. It's
Yeah,
always been
agreed.
complimentary, and he seems just like a quality guy. So, a good luck to
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. That's a nice shout out, Tim.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, right? Hopefully, we'll get back to CES next year. In fact, the plan is next year we're going to do a full breakdown of the show. It's been a long time since I've gone thoroughly through the show. And the plan is for next year to really do top to bottom and spend an entire 4 days really hitting it hard and just, you know, really getting into CES. So this year was like a normal year, right? We went there, we saw, we experienced, but next year we're gonna do some serious reporting on CES and get into the weeds a little bit more about, you know, maybe some of the things that you wouldn't normally hear about on the news.
God only knows what's going to be there, right? Because in terms of technology and just a lot of stuff, like we talked about the metaverse, AI, the EFTs, all these pieces that to the naked eye are kind of dormant. They've been worked on this whole time, and I think now they're really going to start being used, and the power of those tools are really going to come out.
That's a good way to sum up the show, and looking forward to season 3, buddy.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be fun.